Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
The country of 250 years ago looked much different than the country does today. Not only the fact we are much larger and have over 300 million people, but our views about God have changed drastically. While 250 years ago, almost 100% of those living in this country believed there is an all-powerful, all-knowing God, that has now changed. We must ask how and why. Today's guest is Dr. Adam Rasmussen, a fellow at the Cultural Research Center and the dean of the College of Arts and Humanities at Arizona Christian University. He draws upon his 25 years of experience in Christian education to inspire students to thrive under the lordship of Christ in all aspects of their lives. He holds an MA in Educational Ministries from Wheaton College, as well as a PhD in Educational Studies with a focus on leadership and administration from the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. His research interest includes biblical literacy, educational ministries, and Christian apologetics. Thanks, Dr. Rasmussen, for being with us.
Diane, it's a blessing to be here.
So let's first talk about what is the Cultural Research Center there at Arizona Christian University?
I love that question. The Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University exists to help the church. And our lead researcher, George Barna, has been studying biblical worldviews since 1995. He's been with us as one of our professors for the last 6 years. And what we do is we look at how Americans think and believe and behave, and then we measure that against what the Bible says. So we have this idea called biblical Christianity or biblical theism, and it's just a basic understanding of God, human persons, their condition, Jesus Christ, faith, all of the things that we learned when we were growing up in Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And we measure that against several things in the United States, such as marriage, family, child rearing, the election, the way people respond to the pandemic, their everyday lives. And today you and I are going to talk about their views that can be kind of troubling, right, Diane?
Absolutely, because we definitely see that the nation's in trouble. And some people don't even know what a worldview is. So let's talk about what is a worldview.
A worldview is the internal lens through which a person sees, interacts with the world. Everyone has a worldview, and it informs every bit of their thinking, and it drives their behaviors. Biblical theism, what you and I are talking about today, is just one worldview among many. Everyone has a worldview. It's their view of themselves, God, the universe, and it continues to inform everything that they do.
I found it interesting that new research indicates that while adults have clear perspectives on natural and supernatural beings and spirits, most Americans reject biblical perspectives on those matters. Is that why we're seeing an increased interest in the occult and spiritualism?
You're right, Diane. What we have seen, I'll give you another just really troubling statistic. Mm-hmm. Among evangelical Christians, 24% of them said they have worshiped on a weekly basis another spirit other than the God of the Bible.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and so people they tend to pull God down, and when they do that, it looks kind of like Romans 1, mm-hmm. where they're giving spiritual characteristics to things like the wind or trees. And then they lower human nature because we're made in the image of God. And when we get rid of the God of the Bible, our image changes. And so it looks like humanity itself gets a downgrade, but houseplants get an upgrade.
Get an upgrade. Yeah, you see that in the climate change alarmism also, where they want to save Mother Earth, and it doesn't matter what it costs human beings to live on the Earth to save the planet. That's very much a part of the climate change thing, I believe. So the data shows, let's break it down by age. Who is more apt to be biblically literate or biblical, have a biblical worldview? What age group?
Well, it kind of goes with how old you are, right? So the Gen X, boomers, and elders are tracking higher with having the Bible in their lives. And then the Gen Zers and millennials are much lower. And there are all kinds of problems that come from that, Diane. But the older you are, it seems to be, the more you believe in the God of the Bible.
Do you think that's because the church has dropped the ball in recent years as far as teaching biblical literacy?
Yes. I think there are quite a few factors coming in, but if we're really going to talk about it, the church, our value proposition is the gospel. That's what we do differently. And when we get away from the gospel, that is that Jesus Christ is the savior of the world and that we need to repent and to believe in him and that he wants us to make disciples of all nations. He's promised, Diane, that he will be with us when we make disciples, teaching them to obey what he has given in the word. And I think we've gotten away from it. And I was reading this book and it says, trying to explain American history without its Bible is like trying to understand the human body without its bloodstream.
That's
and
quite
I
true.
Think we don't have enough Bible in our bloodstream, to be honest. Yeah, you see all these problems coming from that.
Yeah, and we see it reflected so much in the culture, and it is very troubling and it's problematic for the next 250 years of this constitutional republic. One of the things, you know, as you're talking, some of the stats you had was just 30% of adults hold the biblical view that people are born into sin and can only be saved by Jesus Christ. 30%, you know, adults. If you don't see where we're having the problem, we don't see that we're born into sin, then people will think, well, why do I need the church? Why do I need Jesus?
Precisely.
Yeah.
57% of adults would say humans are created in God's image, are morally fallen, and are in need of redemption. But when we ask the follow-up question, do you need to be saved from your sin, like you said, only 30% of Americans would agree and say, I need Jesus to save me from my sins. 24% of Catholics, 48% of Protestants. And we're just simply not teaching the gospel if people don't understand their need for a savior.
Right, right. And I'm going to back up. And how do you obtain this information, get these percentages? What's the process?
That's an excellent question. So in 1994, George Barna and Chuck Colson started looking at some problems in the United States, and they decided that they were going to take just basic doctrines from the Bible. As I've mentioned before, we call them the seven cornerstones of faith. They're very basic. People can understand them at a young age. And then since that time, since 95, George Barna has been studying this. 6 years ago, he came to Arizona Christian University. He's one of our professors. And so at the Cultural Research Center, you can go to our website, culturalresearchcenter.com, and you can see all of these studies going back month after month for years. It's all there for free. And what we do is we grab a random sample that's representative of the United States. It's about 2,000 people. We have about 36 questions that we ask. And then there are some demographic questions as well. It takes about anywhere from 20 to 35 minutes for people to fill these out. And, you know, it's got the basic gold standard of social science, which is 95% confidence interval, plus or minus 1 or 2 percentage points. Right. If you want more about our methodology, go to the website and you can look at that. But we don't, we ask questions that get to the root of the issue. And if we need to, we do follow-up interviews.
Okay, good, good. On the abortion issue, how's that? Because, you know, we have Planned Parenthood still getting taxpayer dollars, unfortunately. We have the abortion drug being shipped into states that have passed laws banning abortion. Basically, on the abortion issue, where do Americans stand as a, you know, as you're looking at this study that you guys did?
Yeah, methadone and the other problems that we have.
Mm-hmm.
What we know from the Bible, from Jesus and from early church history and throughout history, is that it is the Christian faith alone, it is the biblical faith alone that makes marriage, sex, and babies what it should be. And when we get that out of a culture, people tend to revert to the issue of abortion. It just keeps coming up. So with our biblical literacy going down, we see a rise of this in our culture. So right now, 52% of Americans would say that they're that they're okay with the idea of abortion. And only 33% would say that they are staunchly pro-life, like you and your organization in Pennsylvania, and like us at Arizona Christian University. Why? Because we're committed to what the Bible says about human beings.
Right.
Life is sacred.
We wonder, I think it was Thomas Jefferson who said, we get the Congress that we deserve. As we vote, we get what we deserve. So people don't vote their pro-life values, which hopefully they have. If people don't vote for those candidates who are strongly pro-life, then we get what we, you know, the situation we're presently in the United States, which is not good. And we see that a rise in euthanasia and these so-called laws for compassionate dying. That all is in the same area. You know, you're talking about life and whether life is sacred or not. So it all ties together. Frightening. It's just very, very frightening.
It certainly does. I remember C. Everett Koop and Francis Schaeffer had their book and video series, Whatever Happened to the Human Race. And they would talk about a culture of death and dying. And really, when you celebrate God as the Lord of life and Jesus Christ, his son, is being raised from the dead, you cannot look at these issues and then say that human life is not precious. However, if you get rid of that narrative and we only go with the science of what is possible, then human greed and all kinds of filthiness takes over. And then you get death at the beginning, at the end, in the middle.
Again, the church has dropped the ball, in my opinion, when it comes to addressing these issues, addressing the issue of life and the issue of, you know, so many issues, they seem to have dropped the ball. And we see that reflected in the culture through the poll that you guys did. And as a result of that, we see not just the youngest, you know, the teenagers and the early 20-year-olds who are confused, who don't understand the sacredness of life, who don't see the God of the Bible as being relevant, and instead they worship the earth and worship, like you're saying, Romans 1, you know, the worshiping the created rather than the creator. How about when it comes to folks' view of Jesus? Did he walk a sinless life while he was on this earth? How do they view that?
Right. It's sad because what people are doing is they're, like I said, they're downgrading humanity and upgrading houseplants, but they're also doing that with God. And so they make these safe statements and bland moral and spiritual guesses. And the therapeutic model that Jesus must be just like me, and therefore they believe that Jesus wasn't sinless. When he was on earth, a striking 25% of adults strongly agree that Jesus Christ sinned while he was on earth. But what they miss is he's God.
Yeah.
And the Bible declares that he was the sinless, perfect sacrifice before a holy God.
What's one of the statements in your findings is among notional Christians, roughly half of all churchgoers more strongly agree he sinned than strongly disagree. I'm assuming a notional Christian is just one in name only. What's the definition?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's what I kind of thought. And how about the Holy Spirit? You know, talking about the Trinity, we have God who they don't grasp his, who he is. They have Jesus who's saying, did not live a sinless life. How about the Holy Spirit, the third of the Godhead?
Oh, well, 36% of all Americans would say that the Holy Spirit is only a symbol, not a person and not God.
Yeah.
And this statistic, Diane, was not in the particular study that you and I are talking about, but you can go to culturalresearchcenter.com and pull our study on the Trinity. 16% of churchgoers, 16%. Can describe God as one God in three persons. So I don't know what God we're worshiping if it isn't the uncreated triune God of Israel in the Bible. You know, fully God, Father, Son, and Spirit from all time and from before time. People can't articulate that. And what are we teaching in our churches?
Yeah, that's what that question went through my mind also, for sure, because it's definitely is not the church of 250 years ago with the founding of the United States of America with the Black Robe Regiment and the strong biblical teachings about, in this case, about liberty and independence, but they also taught about sin, and they talk about a sinless Jesus, and they talk about the Holy Spirit. So we have a different, whole different church environment, or, and I don't want to lump all churches together because all churches are not like this, but too many churches are dropping the ball. Recently, the Episcopal Church, no, I'm sorry, Presbyterian Church USA came out and said that they supported, quote unquote, gender-affirming care of minors, which includes, you know, mutilating surgeries and hormones. So maybe we need to pray for the church. Of course, the church is made up of the people in the church, it's not the building. And, you know, looking at these worldview statistics and worldview the statue guys have, it is, to say the least, troubling. How do you think we can turn this tide around, so to speak, this boat around?
That's an excellent question. And I think we continue to pray and to realize that revival comes from God, that salvation comes from God. And then we live our lives the best we can, and we continue to make the gospel clear. You've talked many times, Diane, about culture. And I think about good ship church, and we are to be out on a rescue mission in the ocean. And the culture just wants to keep dry docking the church. Just go back and be on the sidelines. But God wants us not as a luxury ship, but as a rescue ship out there in the ocean. So the church in the world. That's the way it's supposed to be. The church is supposed to be in the world, making influence, transforming culture with truth. The problem becomes when the ocean gets in the ship. You got a big problem.
Yeah.
And we have to be distinctive in our love for God first and man second. And that second comes really close. But you know what? A lot of people say, oh, just give me the love for man. We don't need God. We can't do that. We need God's love, and we need to love him first. And then from the overflow of that, it'll change us. And one more thing, you know, culture has been leading the church in my generation, but it's supposed to be the other way around. God changes the church, and the church changes the culture. So it starts with the church, you and me, anyone we can influence to say, let's stop treating Jesus like a hobby. He is supposed to be the center of our lives. And you know what? We've seen this happen. You mentioned the revolution, and right before that, the first great awakening, and the second great awakening after that. Our nation has returned to God, the God of the Bible. And it may not, we may be living more in the days of Jeremiah than in the days of Isaiah, where the nation itself will not all turn back. He'll always have a remnant. But I still hope we're in the days of Isaiah, where there could be another revival. In my day, I would love to see that. Many young boys and girls, men and women, come to know Jesus personally for the first time. And those of us that have been sitting on the sidelines get back into the game,
right?
You know, with everything that we've got for the last remaining days we have on this earth.
Hey, we do. With the murder of Charlie Kirk last September, we saw a big uptick in the purchases of, you know, Bibles and things like that among young people. And, you know, my fear is that there will be no one there to guide them and to give them the information that they need. I mean, the Holy Spirit can work with just the Bible, you know, with someone purchasing a Bible and reading through the Holy Spirit, because I've read stories about such things happening. The Holy Spirit can do that. But is the church ready for a big influx of young people who have come to Christ? Is the church ready to disciple them? I don't know.
God knows the answer.
Yeah.
We did a report on Charlie Kirk's assassination. Mm-hmm. You can see that at culturalresearchcenter.com. The way churches are set up right now, however, is not meant for that.
Yeah.
It's set up for something different. And I want to see people discipled and to know Jesus and to grow. At Arizona Christian University, we just published our 5-year longitudinal study on our own students. They, by the time they graduate from our school, have grown 833% in a biblical worldview. They outpace their peers ages 21 to 24 in the biblical worldview, 28 to 1.
Wow.
So it can only happen with relationships around the Bible.
Right.
Helping each other live biblically changed lives.
Absolutely. Arizona Christian University is one of the few, because just because a school calls itself Christian doesn't, you guys are the exception. I'll put it like that. Because some schools that call themselves Christian are not Christian. And we see seminaries the same thing, same way. And some seminaries, again, not all of them. They want to lump them all together, but some seminaries are not biblically literate. I'll put it like that. So I'm glad that the Arizona Christian University is one of the few in the country that can be trusted. You said an uptick of 800-some% in their biblical worldview. Was that the stat you gave for the students?
833%.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and those are some of the future leaders of the country. That's what I was going to say, which is good news.
It is. It is. And I have a lot of hope. Every day I wake up with a spring in my step because the Lord Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and he's on the throne.
Yeah.
While we're talking about America, I love our country. And yet I'm a citizen of two kingdoms, and the eternal kingdom is the one we're going to.
Right.
The eternal city. And God hasn't gone anywhere. And the Bible will not change.
Right.
So if people want to flourish, if they want to experience life to the full, that's not my promise. That's the promise of Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if they want to perish and perish eternally, then they can reject this word. He said that if you build your house on sand, the storms will come and great will be the crash.
Yeah.
And we see it. We see it in all these little stories around us about people having hopelessness, about marriages not working, about children being born out of wedlock, about failure upon failure. Why not come back to your Creator? Yeah. He loves you. He wants you to flourish, not to languish. But you have to come back through Jesus. And that's the message of the Bible.
So how's the best way to get that message out there if the church seems to be floundering?
The best way is for us to take the time, put the devices away, look each other in the eye, and ask questions. And give it a lot of time. And we're not giving time on task. Our minds are meant for glory and our bodies are made for resistance. However, we just go from one luxury to another and one distraction to another. Frankly, we fill our minds with garbage.
Yeah.
And we should be filling it with the glory of God. That's how human beings were made.
Yeah.
So our whole culture is very luxurious, extravagant, and we go from one dopamine hit to another. Put it down. Take the time to listen, ask questions, and work through life. I know no other way. Blood, sweat, and tears. And I'll be there for you. You know, people have to say that to each other. I'll be there for you.
Yeah.
And then actually be there.
Yeah. Excellent advice, for sure. I like your description of the church as a rescue ship, a rescue boat, because that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be out there with the good news of the gospel to rescue the perishing. I think there was a song, old gospel song, about rescuing the perishing, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. So that folks can find this study as the other ones that has been done at
culturalresearchcenter.com.
Yeah, culturalresearchcenter.com.
Yeah.
Appreciate your work. It's fantastic, and it's troubling, but we need to know these statistics so we know how to address them, and living out our lives as true Christians, as you're saying, is the key to getting the gospel message out there. And many times I've heard that the only Bible that some people will read is a Christian, the life of a Christian. So let's pray that we're doing living the life the way that the Lord would have us live it.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
So thanks so much, Dr. Rasmussen. I appreciate it. And you guys take care and keep up the good work down there.
Thank you, Diane. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, take care.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.